And Human Services is wrangling about smoking ordinances upstairs.
They still are. Well, that's, Who was the last person who was up in 3220 to know how Health and Human Services Board is doing? You were? And they're trying to wrap it up. Pardon?
Sharon said that we have 2 minutes, so that was 5 minutes ago.
Okay. We're going to wait 2 minutes and hope our colleagues from Health and Human Services Board join us. There was a committee meeting at 5:30, Supervisor Erickson. We can do everything. Yeah, I'm not going to be very long about this, but thank you. Yes. 1 minute. Do you want to make an announcement? No. From this week. Supervisors who have your copies of the Law Enforcement Center, Supervisor Paff and Burke and others who have the copy of the minutes from the Law Enforcement Center committee meeting earlier this week. Will you pass them down to the end of the aisle so Marion can collect them and replace them with the accurate version of them, please? They were on your desks, I believe. October 7th, sorry, and they were on the desk, Supervisor Pedretti. So the October 7th LEC Edition Committee meeting minutes that were on your desk should be turned back in, and we'll get you a clean copy. Was it in the packet or on the desk? Because it's not accurate. So Jerry's down now, so we must be here. Are they done?
Yeah,
Jerry's down. So who's she? I will call us to order and ask that we stand and say the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Supervisor or Chairman Doyle will be here shortly, so with unanimous consent, I will skip us down to the administrator's report to get us started, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. In your packet, of course, are items on the Law Enforcement Center bid, so when we get to that, we are going to give you an overview of the four-phase project that's there, as well as we have some boards that can show you the exterior, and then Market and Johnson and Potter Lawson and River Architects will walk us through the actual bids and the recommendation that's coming from the Law Enforcement Center Construction Committee. As you're thinking about that, and hopefully you've had a chance to review that, it is on the agenda, and if you choose to vote on it tonight, you can vote on the award of bids tonight. If you choose to go ahead and have a full separate meeting on Monday night, as currently posted, which is Monday night, the 20th, we can go ahead with that as well. So be thinking about that. If you have additional questions that you want answered, we'll take whatever time tonight or on Monday night as well. Also under the administrator's report is the 2008 budget. I just want to repeat some of the dates that are coming up. In addition to the law enforcement center issues that are tonight and Monday night, on Tuesday, the 28th, will be the next executive committee budget review. We've gone through all of the budget reviews with committees. Any recommended changes that have come out of those committees will be presented to the November November 3rd county board meeting. That will be your next full budget meeting by the board, where all recommendations from governing committees will come, as well as any changes that the executive committee has come up with as well. The executive committee will also deal with recommendations by finance and administrator, specifically on the debt service issues related to the law enforcement center. So I want to make the offer. If there are individual board members that have questions, a number of you have come to me on items that you're concerned about or just want a clarification on. They can be easy questions, hard questions. Just spend whatever time you need to with us if that will help. If you want to help in preparing a recommendation or a motion or some kind of amendment, we'll help you do that as well. It's always easier if we can help you prepare that rather than just make things off the floor, because, again, sometimes if you make a motion just on the floor, you may not recognize the impact that it will be through multiple line items. So if there's anything that you're not sure of that you want to have us help you prepare, please do that. Both Gary and I are available, or our staff. So, again, we're going to keep walking through each one of the meetings that are here. As you know, November 3rd is a policy planning evening meeting. That will be where we'll get into the meat of anything from the full board concerns about the budget and the final wrap-up, as well as recommendations. The 10th is your annual, or excuse me, is your public hearing. There's also included under the board chair's report will be talk about it, if we should have the public hearing for that EMS issue the same night. So we'll talk about the pros and cons of that when Chairman EMS. And then I know later on we'll be talking about when possibly to schedule a public hearing with the smoking ordinance or the non-smoking ordinance. So, and then, of course, if you didn't notice, we will wrap up the budget on November 12th, which is the Wednesday. That's your statutory annual meeting where you make final decisions and actions there. That's all I have, Madam Chair.
So are you doing an update on the LEC bids?
I did. We're going to end
with
up walking
the green sheet?
Right. The idea was that when we walk through the phasing and get to the Law Enforcement Center Construction Committee report, I would walk through that. But there's an extra piece of information on there that I'll walk through on the local impact of the Law Enforcement Center project. I think it's some good news for a number of local contractors.
Okay.
I'll walk through that when we get to that agenda.
Thank you, Mr. O'Malley. Cards and correspondence are on the bulletin board in the back. Any committees planning a meeting during recess? If not, just keep in mind we'll go back to the board chair's report, including supervisor conference reports, later in the meeting after after Chairman Doyle arrives. Item 1-10, consent agenda. Moved by Supervisor Plesha, seconded by Supervisor Sobranek. Any discussion? All those in favor of the consent agenda signify by saying aye. Opposed, no. Consent agenda is approved unanimously. Planning Resources and Development Committee Supervisor Don Meyer.
Thank you. We have item 2-10, petition 1789 filed by Christopher J. and Julie A. Falsler to rezone exclusive agriculture district to agriculture district A in the town of Burns. This motion was approved by the committee, and I ask for your approval.
Moved by Supervisor Meyer, seconded by Supervisor Schrader. Discussion. Supervisor Billings.
Thank you. I believe, is this the one where the town of Bangor put some conditions on that won't be able to be enforced by the county?
This is Burns.
Burns. This is town of Burns. This was Tana Burns, Joe.
Is this the one? I'm sorry, I'm coming from another meeting, but there was one where Bleschke noted that there were some conditions that were included that the county would not be able to enforce.
That was last month, I believe. And we approved that. The Dave Wolf deal in Bangor, where they're...
No, I agree with what Mrs. Billings is saying.
Thank you.
There were conditions from Burns.
The town of Burns adopted a resolution where they approved the rezoning with conditions. When you have a conditional rezoning approval, it means that the conditions need to be recorded in a deed restriction. And once that deed restriction is recorded, then the zoning is approved. Many of these conditions that the town of Burns has listed are not things that can be recorded within a deed restriction on the property, so they're more of a contract zoning, which we're not allowed to do. We're not given statutory authority to do contract zoning in the state of Wisconsin. So our approval is not conditional on these conditions that the town of Burns suggested.
Supervisor Billings, you still have the floor.
So can I ask, in this situation, is it sort of a feel-good for town of Burns that they add these conditions?
We weren't at the Burns town meeting. We have their response, but I guess I can't speak to the feel-good nature of it.
Well, this is the first time I've seen a situation like this, so I was just wondering, and the department recommended not supporting this?
Correct. The plan that was adopted by the town of Burns in 1999, I believe, has basically all of the town of Burns is in exclusive agriculture. So they don't list any areas in their adopted plan as developed for development. So our staff recommendation, as we felt, was consistent with that plan. However, the committee felt differently, that their approval was consistent with our adopted plan because this application is protecting the farmland and putting the development in areas that are not currently farmed.
Thank you for that explanation.
Supervisor Geary.
If we pass this, would somebody notify Burns that they can't, because they'll have so many days to turn it down themselves if they would choose to do that, right?
Yes.
So somebody will notify them.
Definitely.
Any other discussion on this? It's been moved and seconded. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Will you raise your hand, noes, please? Supervisor Burke, Supervisor Billings, Supervisor Mettinger. 2-10 is approved. Back to you, Supervisor Meyer.
Item 3-10, petition 1792, filed by David Herletzka from Herletzka Enterprises, LLC, OBO, Paul Kermit, to rezone from Commercial District B with conditions to Commercial District B, Town of Shelby. I move for your approval.
Moved by Mr. Meyer, seconded by Mr. Bina. Discussion? Anybody even notice a switch? Pretty quick, huh?
It was nicer. I mean.
All in favor say aye. Opposed, no. Carried unanimously. Next item.
Petition 4-10, or item 4-10, petition 1794, Steve Motter, the town of Greenfield, OBA or OBO FPSA Villa Farm to rezone from Transitional Ag District to Agricultural District A in the town of Greenfield. I move for your approval.
Moved by Mr. Meyer, seconded by Mr. Bina. Discussion on this one? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously.
And we have item 5-10, the first reading of Ordinance 68 regarding the storm water management for the general code of La Crosse County. This should be held over for 30 days, and we'll vote on it the next meeting, hopefully.
That'll be held over unless anybody has any questions or comments tonight. Marilyn Pedretti.
Just a technical, in our packet, there's an additional explanation in 1010, page 4, that actually belongs in 5-10, and it's the short version, is my understanding, explanation. And I just want to clear that up.
Okay. Anybody else? Mr. Bina.
Well, the only thing I wanted to make you aware of, and that is
EPA came up with the idea that we should have a system like this for the state and the counties in Wisconsin, and they directed DNR to implement. This is an unfunded mandate, as far as I'm concerned, that we are going to be getting into with no funding coming in from the feds or the state either.
Anybody else? Okay, this will be held over till next month. Is that it for you, Mr. Meyer?
That's it. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Any objection to going back to the chair's report? Okay, let's do that. Public hearing date for the Joint City-County Emergency Medical Services Commission. What I would like to do is get that set for November, and in fact, what I'm thinking is to do it in conjunction with the public hearing that we already will be having on the budget, which is November 10th, 12th, whatever that is. November 10th, and just do it at the same time. My hope is that this will not be particularly controversial, but anything having to do with ambulances, I suppose, has a chance of being. But we don't usually get a whole lot of people show up for our budget public hearing, so as long as we'll be here anyway, I'd like to do it that night. So plan on that. Mr. Burns?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just to clarify on the 10th of November, last year when we did passed our budget, we had our public hearing, which was good, and then we started in the agenda of amendments and resolutions for the budget. Mm-hmm. Would that still follow then? Would we still, being that we have two public hearings, then we'd go through and start deliberating on the budget?
Depending upon the hour.
Okay.
You know, if it's too late, we'll just hold everything off. But if it's short, then we'd probably start.
Okay, so we could. So just to clarify, then we would mm-hmm. be able to start amendments and based on the time and the pleasure of the county board.
Exactly, based on the time and the pleasure of the board.
Okay.
And then keep in mind, folks, no meeting the next day. So if you've got your calendars, I think you've probably already talked about that before. So Monday night, then Wednesday morning, not Tuesday because Tuesday is Veterans Day.
Okay. Would it be better to start that meeting an hour early, or should we stick with the 6 o'clock?
I think sticking to 6 o'clock is better because that's our traditional time, and
okay.
I don't want people
that's
to
fine.
Be surprised.
No, I agree. Okay. Thank you.
So plan on that occurring then. I've been in fairly regular communication with various people over at the city. I'm not sure what's going to happen on their end. I don't know if Andrea or Jay, I see Audrey's not here, have any insight on that. But there is a proposal for a study commission over at the city. I don't know what's going to happen with that, but we don't have a contract for an ambulance service right now, and I'd like to get our thing moving, so we'll be talking about ours in November. Sign-up sheet for lunch. Sharon Hampson.
Thank you. Excuse me for interrupting. I have
That's
a question
okay.
about public hearings.
Mm-hmm.
To just segue from one controversial topic to the next, the smoking ordinance would need a public hearing, and I thought maybe we should set that date tonight.
Yes. Do you want to do that now, or do you want to wait till we get to that item on the agenda?
It doesn't matter to me.
What are you thinking for time frame?
Well, ideally, I'd like the second reading at the November meeting, so the public hearing would be sometime before then, probably later this month.
Tara Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. All due respect, I'm concerned about the load in November, and I'm wondering if it would make sense to move the public hearing after the budget is completed. I certainly would not advocate for a public hearing that has budget and ambulance and smoking,
which means
second night, and we already have multiple meetings because of the budget. So I guess I would respectfully request that we move that public hearing to, you know, later in November or before the December cycle, but not try to get it in before the November cycle.
Well, that's why I said ideally that
yeah.
would be great, but I've been hearing a lot of that. So we could postpone that public hearing till November and then have the second reading of the smoke-free ordinance in December.
Based on what we've got coming up with budget and the ambulance stuff and whatever else comes out of the woodwork, it might be better if you're okay on that.
Okay. But it'd be nice to set a date now since November has Thanksgiving and Everybody's busy.
People have Mr. Geary had his hand up. Did you have anything on the timing, Mr. Geary?
Not the time. I thought maybe you should just move that item forward and discuss it now.
No.
I mean, if the first reading, and that would be debatable, and then we could find out if a date was necessary.
Or we could wait till we get to it.
Well, we wouldn't actually be voting on it tonight, unless...
I'm just talking about setting the public hearing date.
Okay. Let's set the public hearing now. If it turns out that we don't need it, we cancel it.
Right.
So if you have your calendar, Thanksgiving is the 27th of November, and we have our budget on the 10th and the 12th. So what would the next week, say Monday the 17th, look like for people? Our meetings tend to be Mondays or Thursdays.
Point of order, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Spiker?
I think procedure is when you take up that subject time, you set the public hearing because you have to get the majority approval from the county board member. So I think we're really out of order to be speaking about it now.
Oh, okay. Well, we're setting public hearing for other things.
If you prefer to wait, that's fine with me. Mr. Menninger?
Well, you know, we have a bunch of people here on this item. Maybe we could take it up and then dispose of it so they could leave.
Is that a motion to go to that item on the agenda? Moved
right.
by Mr. Menninger to go to that item on the agenda, seconded by Tara Johnson. All in favor of going to that item on the agenda, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no?
No.
The noes are, raise your hands, Sharon Hampson and Tom Rauch. Okay, we are on that item on the agenda, which is...
10-10.
Sharon Hampson.
All right. Item 10-10, change to
point
the...
Point of order, Mr. Chairman.
Mr.
I hate
Spiker.
To do this again, but I thought we had to have unanimous consent to move something on the...
You can have unanimous consent. If nobody objects, you don't have to take a vote, but if it passes on a majority vote, you can go to anything on the agenda.
So if somebody would have objected to it, then we would have couldn't have did what we're doing now.
No, if somebody objected to it, then we would take a vote.
Well, we had two no's.
Whatever way you play it, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
No, Mr. Spiker, that is how Robert's Rules of Order work, and that's what we follow. Mr. Shepard, am I wrong? Mr. Shepard says I'm right. Our rules follow Robert's Rules of Order.
Not necessarily when there's a conflict.
Is there a conflict in our rules? If there are, point it out and we won't do this.
I just think we follow the procedure for everything, and all of a sudden we change now on the procedure how we do things.
Well,
and I always thought it was understanding with the board, just like tabling. If somebody moves the table, you've decided, and I think the right decision, that everybody be heard. In the same way as procedure on ordinances and that.
Mr. Spiker, my intent in all this was to be as efficient as possible. We were talking about scheduling, and we have two items to schedule, one of which we just did. We also have a room full of people here who I know are interested in this issue, probably not interested in a lot of the other things that we're doing tonight, and probably want to go home after we're done with this one. Trying to be courteous to them, not trying to slip anything by. We're on this topic now. People can talk about it to their heart's content, and we'll figure out what we're going to do, and we'll set a date if we need a date. But nobody's trying to play any games here, Mr.
No, Spiker. I'm not saying you're playing any games. You just kind of do one thing with the rules one time, and then 2 months later you do something else with the rules. And I think we just should be following the rules that the board has set and the Roberts Rule Award. Thank you, Mr.
Okay,
Chairman.
Thank you. All right, we are on this item, Sharon Hampson.
Thank you. Item 1010, a change to the ordinance. An ordinance to repeal and recreate Section 11.53 to be entitled Elimination of Smoking in All Workplaces and Public Places, including restaurants and bars, 100% smoke-free of the General Code of La Crosse County, Wisconsin. I move its approval and ask to retain the floor.
You're actually putting it on the floor. This would be normally the time for its first reading, and then it'd be held over.
Well, how would I do that?
You just say, I'm offering it for its first reading, and then automatically it will hold over for 30 days. Although if people have any questions or comments, they're...
Well, I did want to make some clarifying remarks about it.
That's fine.
So what are my words? I move its first reading.
Sure.
And ask to retain the floor.
That's fine.
Okay.
Seconded for the first reading by...
Not me.
Margaret Wood. Go ahead. Ms. Hampson.
Okay, just for clarification, I know this is a controversial issue every time we bring it up, There's a lot of discussion, but I just wanted to explain the parameters of this ordinance. This only applies to towns within Lake La Crosse County. Villages and cities must separately pass their own ordinances. So fears about downtown La Crosse bars need to be postponed until La Crosse deals with it. The La Crosse Area Health Initiative and their subcommittee, Smoke Free Air for Everyone, has a countywide plan that they've talked about, and that is to start with West Salem, which talked about it last month and then delayed it to see what the county would do. So now it's our turn to talk about it. And then the plan was to go from there and work with the governing bodies in each of those municipalities so that in the end, the ideal would be the same ordinance in place throughout every municipality in La Crosse County. That is certainly not my first choice for how to deal with this issue. My first choice would be to have the level playing field that everyone seems to want at the national level, like France and Ireland and New Zealand have. But there is not a lot coming out of Washington that's very constructive lately, and they've only passed one national law about smoking, and that's on airplanes, and that's the only thing they've ever done. Second choice would be that the state of Wisconsin would take it up, as have 24 other states, and they also seem to not be very productive lately. So this effort is in frustration at waiting for the state. So we're tired of waiting for Madison, and we decided to push ahead. So that's our rationale. That's it.
I think that many people have assumed that we're having a public hearing on this, but as Mr. Shepherd just pointed out to me, the procedure for doing that is a supervisor needs to request public hearing, and then it has to be approved by a majority vote. So I assume, Ms. Hampson, you are requesting that there be a public hearing on this?
I request that there be a public hearing.
Okay, is there a second on that? Mr. Bina seconds that. Discussion on whether we should have a public hearing on this issue. Mr. Bina.
I keep being amazed. Every time we turn around, we got another problem we got to overcome. I keep being amazed that the health board and department want to regulate the out county, but not the rest of the county. I'm really amazed. I'm glad to hear you're going to have a public hearing because there are quite a few people that want to have some input into this. You know, Sharon talked about having a across-the-board concept on this. Well, I think the state should do it, first of all. And if the state
Mr. Bina, the issue right now is whether we should have a public hearing.
Okay.
So let's confine the remarks to that for now, and then when we're done with that, we'll talk more about the merits.
Okay, so we can't include anything in the ordinance either?
What I need you to do right now is talk about whether we should have a public hearing. When that is voted on, then
okay.
When we're done with that,
okay.
Then you can talk about the other issues. But right now, let's talk about public hearing or no public hearing.
All right.
Point of order.
I
just want to answer his
question
about...
That's not relevant if my question wasn't...
saying that the health board seems to want to regulate out county. It's
hold your comments till we
law.
Get to that part of the discussion, please. Right now, I'm going to try to keep everybody on task. Public hearing, no public hearing.
Okay.
That's
we,
the question, Mr. Bina.
We got into it last night a little bit after I read through the minutes and everything that I have here. I did some research. There are two. Yes. Have a public hearing. All right. I'll limit my
Thank
comments.
Thank you, Mr. Bina. We'll come back to you.
Okay,
anybody else on the topic of public hearing? Jim Burns.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Is the timing of the public hearing germane of this discussion or not?
Sure, it could be.
I agree with Supervisor Johnson. I think with the major decisions we have to make with our LEC addition, with the budget. And with all of the very, very important decisions that we have to make, I feel a lot more comfortable moving this to the public hearing to December, and or even December. December. Thank you,
Mr. Alk.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm going to oppose doing a public hearing now, which doesn't reflect at all on my views on this smoking ordinance in one direction or another. But it seems to me that the point of a public hearing is that our constituents in a very broad area get sufficient notice that we want to hear their input, and any and all who have something to say on that get to come and talk to us. To engineer a public hearing at this point for those who, for whatever reason, have come tonight to hear us, and now suddenly to be giving their opinion to us, excludes all of those others, and it puts things seriously out of balance. And I think that we should not do the public hearing this evening, but we should do so with...
We're not going to.
Isn't that what we just got asked to do?
No, it's not going to be this evening. If this passes, then we'll set the date.
My mistake. I thought it said public hearing.
Never mind. All right, public hearing or no public hearing? Any further discussion on that? All in favor of having a public hearing, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously. Now on the underlying issue of the proposed ordinance, you can talk to your heart's content as long as it relates to that.
Let's set the date.
Well, yeah, I suppose we could set the date. Except that what I want as part of this discussion is when that public hearing should be. So I'm going to let people talk about the merits and the date at the same time, and then we'll set the date. Because I know people do have some comments on that. Tara Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm proposing that we hold the public hearing on the evening of December 2nd, which would be the week before committee week in December, after Thanksgiving, after the budget. I'm throwing it out there as a suggestion.
Second. December 2nd is a Tuesday. Is that what you're saying?
I don't know whether it's a Tuesday. Yeah.
It is.
Tuesday, December 2nd is my initial proposal.
Second.
Okay. Just for the purpose of discussion.
Okay. That's out there. We'll not take a vote on that yet. Let's hear what people have to say. I saw Jeff Schrader's hands was up.
I was not going to say anything about the date for the public hearing.
You don't have to. You can talk on the issue itself.
All right. Supervisor Hampson brought up two very good points, I thought, that this is only going to affect out county, the unincorporated areas, and also the best way for this to be done is through the state, not by us piecemealing it together. So at this point, I would like to table this whole thing until a later date, when the state decides that they can do something and we can have something to work off of. Here, we're just piecemealing. This is really a poor piece of legislation as far as I'm concerned.
Okay, I'm going to not accept that motion right now because people have their hands up. I will come to you before we are done, and then you can make the motion at that time. But people should be given a chance to talk about it.
We should be able to do that.
People have their hand up, and as you know, and Mr. Spiker will confirm, I don't let people cut off debate when there's hands up, people who have not talked yet.
Can we get a second on that and then discuss it?
Tabling's not debatable. Jeff, I promise I'll come back to you. We're not going to forget about it. But let other people who have their hand up make comments before we cut them off. Jerry Sobranek.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Can I speak on the merits of this ordinance at this time?
Yes, you may.
Sometimes we lose our focus on what we do here. Our primary objective is to provide services for the citizens of La Crosse County. We are not a legislative body in the judicial sense. However, we do make laws in the form of ordinances. As a population, land use, zoning, health, human services, and businesses are ever-changing. I personally don't think anybody in this board has the expertise to micromanage a business that requires extensive training and testing to secure all the licenses required to operate a heavily regulated business. Bars and restaurants are so heavily regulated that they are almost to the point of having an on-duty lawyer or police liaison officer on premise, just to make sure that no laws are being violated in order to conduct daily business. And now a few board members want to add some more restrictive laws. Now there is this ordinance proposal to regulate the customers. No smoking in bars, restaurants, public places, and workplaces are in 20 feet of these places. Third Street has bars on both sides of the street. 20 feet would put you in the middle of the street. Smoking is the least of your problems. If you smoke, getting run over by a car can be hazardous to your health. How do you regulate an ordinance? Do we hire smoking cops armed with tape measures? What is a person? What if a person is walking down the street smoking a cigarette and passes a bar? A bar, does that person get a citation? That's as ridiculous as ordinance is, in my opinion. Anybody running for a state office does not have the courage to introduce a bill on smoking before November 4th elections. That would be political suicide. After the elections, I can almost guarantee the state of Wisconsin will pass a statewide smoking law. So why open up a can of worms now? We all know it's coming, and soon. The state law will supersede anything we do here anyway. So why are we wasting our time on something that will only be temporary? What's the rush? I have chronic obstructive pulmonary disease and alpha-1 antitrypsin, two deadly lung diseases. So you would think I'd be in support of this ordinance. I'll do my own thinking. When I walk into a bar, I know when I'm walking to it. That's my decision, not yours. I will vote against this ordinance. Thank you.
Ralph Carey.
Thank you. The item we'll be voting on first is Mr. Schrader's move to table.
Correct.
And the way I interpreted that was after the new legislature gets seated, if they don't deal with this issue within a few months, then it will come back through some committee cycle and we'll be looking at it next spring or next summer. Is that
no, it depends on how he phrases it. If he just simply says, I moved to table, it's not to any particular time.
Okay. Well, I think Mr. Schrader's got the common sense approach here. At least we should wait till the new legislature gets seated. I think it'll be probably taken care of early in the agenda if they're going to deal with it at all. And we won't have to go through this.
John Menninger.
Well, I never cease to be amazed, and I guess I really hadn't planned on talking about this ordinance. And I've had five or six bar owners call me up, and I've told them I oppose this ordinance. I also told them that tonight it was going to be first reading and referred to a month or two from now. And I just think what the motion is on the floor is not fair. It doesn't pass the fairness test. This is first reading. People have a right to a public hearing. Then we can take it up in December, and I intend to oppose it then. I don't intend to support this short circuit of what I think is unfair to the author, unfair to the public who wishes to be heard on this issue. We're not even hearing from the bar owners tonight. And I really think that this is really not the right way to play pool.
Joe Billings.
I agree with Supervisor Menninger. I'm not afraid to have this discussion. And I think in the discussions we've had so far, we've had to iron out some stuff and think about a lot of issues that are important to the public. I think to table this would be not fair, as Supervisor Menninger said. So I am moving to suspend our rules to have the second reading in 60 days so that we can consider this in December.
You guys are making my life really complicated up here.
Sorry.
I'll get back to you on that one, Ms. Billings.
I'll be waiting.
Mr. Schrader, I think, gets his first shot before we come to yours. Mr. Bina, now's your chance to say what you wanted to say before.
Well, I thank you very much for allowing me to say what I wanted to say before.
Time's up.
I did a little polling last night after I read through all my paperwork here. And I found out that there were exactly two hotels in the out county of La Crosse County. Having known that, I called both. They are totally opposed to having anything that is a piecemeal deal without them being in the same category as the rest of the hotels in La Crosse County. Then I proceeded to stop at four bars, and three out of the four were totally opposed to it. One is going smoke-free. There's a number of things that I'd like you to consider. As long as this is an out-county ordinance, I think it should be taken up just as we take up the library system in La Crosse County. And we allowed the out-county supervisors to vote on it. And if they want to regulate the out-county, let's vote on it with the out-county supervisors. And secondly, there's a number of things...
Mr. Bina, that's not how it works with the library. Everybody votes on that.
Everybody votes on it, but the money comes out of the out-county part of the budget. There's a couple of things that were missed in here. If you really want to do a good job of putting it all together, you'll miss the fairgrounds. You miss the racetrack. We got businesses in the farming community that milk cows and hire people. You haven't got them in this. You might as well include them, too. Get the milking parlors. Get the hired help to do all of that, too. So I think you should amend it a half a dozen times before you get it to the board floor yet. Thank you.
Vicki Burke.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think that that proper motion would be to postpone to a definite time. I have a difficulty with that tabling motion used in that manner. So I wish we could learn to use postpone to a definite time.
Anybody else on the merits before I come back to Mr. Schrader? Ray Ebert.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have some actually more specific questions. Section 13, the section shall be enforced by the La Crosse County Health Department or other authorized designee. And I would like to know who that might be. I guess from the author or whoever.
Sharon Hampson, do you have the answer to that, or do we need to get somebody else up here?
I can address it. I don't know who the other designees would be, but I was going to say that it wouldn't be adding work to the public health department employees because they inspect restaurants all the time, so it would be added to just one other thing on their checklist. Is Doug still here?
Doug Mormon? Doug,
maybe,
can you come on in?
Doug could do that.
Doug, you heard the question, I assume? For those in the audience, this is Doug Morbin, our public health director.
There are a number of people that work in the La Crosse County Health Department. I would not anticipate that there would be somebody outside of the department that would have to enforce it. But the wording is standardized to enable that to happen in the event that it needed to.
Okay, and would that, in order for someone outside the health department to be authorized, would have to come back to the board for approval? In other words, I'm not sure the sheriff wants this or anything. Well, and see, that's a problem to me. I just really have a problem with something that far out. So, you know, that's one I'll take care of when it comes up. And F, the same thing. Notwithstanding any provisions of this section, an employee or private citizen may bring legal action to enforce this section. Mr. Shepard, what does that mean?
What that means, and again, as Mr. Mormon has pointed out, that this was a state model similar to what Dane County has already adopted. A public citizen would have a right to seek injunctive relief in circuit court.
And Mr. Shepard, what does that mean?
It means that they can go to court and try to enforce the ordinance if the health department fails to enforce the ordinance.
Okay, and then on G, in addition to the remedies provided by the provisions of this section, the health department or any other person aggrieved by the failure of the owner, operator, manager, or other person in control of a public place or a place of employment to comply with the provisions of this section may apply for injunctive relief to enforce the provisions in any court of competent jurisdiction. Is that the same thing you just talked about?
Right. It's court action.
And why would they state it twice? In other words, is this a lawyer job bill?
You say that like that's a bad thing.
Absolutely, and I mean it like it's a bad thing.
I think I can answer the difference. In many respects, they overlap, but I think an additional part of F could be what's called a writ of mandamus, where somebody could file an action with circuit court asking that the judge order the health department to go out and enforce it. G would be asking the judge to issue an order that the facility no longer allow smoking. So there is some overlap, but there can be some distinction.
Okay. And then let's go to number 18, liberal construction. This section shall be liberally construed so as to further its purposes. What, pray tell, does that mean?
Bill?
Well, I think that if you read the findings in the intent of the ordinance, the intent is to protect the public health and safety. And the liberal interpretation would be by a court to protect the public health and safety so that that citizens are not subject to secondhand smoke. But that would be a court interpretation.
And that is a liberal construction. That's a legal term, huh?
You got a lawyer sitting behind you, too, and I think he has something to add to that. Jill Veenstra?
I think the simplest way to put it is if there's something that's unclear in the ordinance, okay, if it's clear, the court would follow the clear language of the ordinance. If there's something that the court finds is ambiguous in the ordinance, then the court would err on the side of the purpose of the ordinance, which is the public health, safety, and welfare of the citizens of La Crosse County. In other words, they would err on the side of enforcement, probably, than non-enforcement.
And is that a normal thing to put in an ordinance?
This language is in almost all statutes, because there's usually a section of the statute that says, this is why we're doing this.
Okay, then just another comment or two. I talked to the Chuck Daring from the racetrack today, and by going by this, he'd have about 15 acres under that he is supposed to control, and he said it would be very, very difficult to only do this to the 20 feet from the fence. Talked to the other restaurant owners. Features is in my area, and the bars downtown, and to a T, they all said, A, keep out of our business, and B, if you can't keep out of our business, do it as a state and not a local thing. So I thank you for your time.
Bill?
I'm not sure where the racetrack is. If that's within the incorporated limits of the village, it is not? It is in the town. Okay, that would... what about Features? Isn't that in the... Okay. This ordinance would not cover anything within the incorporated limits of a village or city. Okay. If
I'd really like to see the practicality. I think in one of your things it talks about an outdoor stadium, doesn't it? I'll pass and I'll go find that and come back to it if you like.
Anybody else have any discussion? Sharon Hampson.
Thank you. I just wanted to clarify on the ordinance, the origin of the ordinance. This is not something that Bill and I sat around making up. This is a model ordinance put out by a national association called the Americans for Non-Smokers' Rights. What they are trying to do is to mimic a level playing field. Because the national government won't pass anything and because some other states aren't passing them, they're trying to get this model ordinance so that there would be uniformity across the nation. So that's what health boards around the country are trying to do. As I stated before, it would certainly be my preference that we didn't have to do this, but we get tired of waiting on Madison and Washington.
Mr. Ebert, coming back to you, page 4, S. Sports arenas, including enclosed places and outdoor arenas. I assume that's what you were looking for? Yes, on page 4, letter S, about halfway down the page.
Okay, I thought there was also something about near bleachers and stuff, but I'll check later and come back.
Okay, Maureen Friedland.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I agree with Supervisor Burke that this isn't properly a motion to table. I believe tabling would require us to pick it up by the end of the meeting. This would properly be that's what I learned at the WCA convention last week. It would properly be a motion to postpone to a definite time. It could be a definite time of, say, 6 months. I would vote against a motion to table if it's going to be indefinitely. I do think that local counties have the right to step in and to regulate the health of their citizens if they feel like it's appropriate and if the state hasn't acted on something. However, I do think that it is wise for us to wait on this for a while to see what the new legislature is going to do. And going along with what Supervisor Sobranek said, if the new legislature will act quickly, then I think we should defer to what the legislature is going to do. So I would move to amend the motion to table.
There is no motion on the floor at this time.
There isn't. Okay.
No, I told Mr. Schrader I'd come back to him.
Okay. Well, then
if it was on the floor, we couldn't debate it. So.
Okay. Then I'd like to propose that we have a motion to table this for 6 months, and then to postpone for 6 months, and then we'll see what the legislature will do. And if the legislature isn't going to act, I think we do have to take this up locally and make a decision. Also, I want to add that I've been impressed by the tavern owners that have contacted me to say that if they can only plan ahead, then they'll be in positions to know what to do better with their business. So I think 6 months would be a reasonable amount of time.
Okay. Mr. Schrader gets the first shot at that, so I'm going to come back to him. But Mr. Ebert, did you find what you were looking for?
I believe if you look on C on page 5, it's talking under prohibition of smoking prohibition of smoking in outdoor areas. It talks about all outdoor areas, stadiums, amphitheaters, excepting designated smoking areas, which may be established only in a perimeter areas of at least 20 feet from any seating areas or concession stands. Smoking shall also be prohibited in within 20 feet of bleachers and grandstands used by spectators at sporting events. At the fairgrounds, that would make it extremely difficult for the operator to control such an area.
Okay. No, I did not. But I think we're at the point now where we're back to Mr. Schrader.
Now, this postponing tabling, now you say you just heard this from down at the WCA convention. Is that correct?
I'm sorry, Maureen, but I think you heard wrong. Because a motion to table is an indefinite motion. So if you want it to be postponed to a certain time, it would be a motion to postpone to a date certain is what it's formally called. So if that's the route that you want to go, Mr. Schrader, that's how you should phrase it. I move to postpone to put your date in there.
When does the legislature go back into January?
Right.
So 6 months from January, which would be July, I would move to postpone this until then to give the legislature 6 months to potentially draft a statewide ordinance on
this. So you're moving to postpone to the July county board cycle? Can we phrase it that way? Okay.
Yes, sir.
Seconded by Tara Johnson. 2009? Okay. Thank you.
Could be 2010, too.
Okay. So, people clear on the motion, which is to postpone this to the July county board cycle. Discussion on that. No discussion on that? This probably isn't going to work, but let's try it. All in favor of that, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Whoa. Okay. Passes unanimously. So close your calendars. We don't need to set a public hearing at this point. All right. We are still on the County Board Chair's report. update on the women's community-based program. Steve, why don't you give the latest?
For those of you on Public Works and Infrastructure, you know a little bit more about this. Over the last several weeks, we've worked under Chairman Doyle's direction along with Jane Kleekamp and representatives of several neighborhoods, Washburn neighborhood, North Depot neighborhood, as well as the city staff, local realtor who's been working with us to look at any number of locations throughout the area and have narrowed it down after many site visits and others to two potential locations. The Public Works Committee will end up doing some inspections and review of those next week. And if a recommendation is forthcoming, it will come back through the November cycle. The citizens that have been in attendance, in fact, one of them was here tonight. He had understood that we might be acting on it tonight. We are not. And so he ended up going home. But he complimented us, the staff, the county board members, for a very public process, and they're very comfortable with the two locations that are being referenced. And we'll be bringing that back to you in November if the Public Works Committee concurs with the staff recommendation.
I kind of jumped over the sign-up sheet for lunch for the November 12th annual county board meeting. That is actually going to be circulated at our policy planning meeting of November 3rd, and it'll have a menu attached. We are meeting November 3rd, right, Steve?
That's right.
Okay. So it'll have a menu attached, and if you're interested in getting lunch for the Wednesday that we're here during the day, you can sign up at that point. Also on Wednesday, November 12th, at our budget deliberation meeting, immediately before that, the health department is going to be doing flu shots. So if you're interested, that will be offered from 8:30 to 9 o'clock on the morning of Wednesday, November 12th. And if you have county health insurance, bring your card. Otherwise, there's a fairly nominal fee, if I remember that correctly. I got a letter from the La Crosse School Board mentioning that they are having another what they call their series of community dialogue meetings, where they ask people from other elected bodies within the county to come and meet with them. They are doing that on October 20th. If anybody from the county board is interested, talk to me after the county board meeting tonight. That would be the evening. I don't have the exact time right now, but it's the evening of October 20th, and they've been doing that regularly to try to increase communication between the various bodies. That gets us also now to supervisor conference reports. Does anybody have any? Arlene Bender.
Thank you. WCA conference was very well attended. Today I sent thank you cards to WCA and AGIS for all their work, from the La Crosse County Board representatives and all that who attended, and supervisors. September 2009, WCA conference will be held here in La Crosse. I worked in the ITBEC booth and on this committee since 1992, 16 years. ITBEC has returned over 160,000 to its members, counties, in the form of grants to support economic development of efforts. Next month there will be a handout and information in your county board packet. Thank you.
Any other reports? Okay. Then that gets us down to executive committee. Tara Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have item 6-10 to the honorable members of the La Crosse County Board of Supervisors regarding a change in general operating levy positions and hours for the 2009 budget. Whereas based on input from the departments, the county administrator's 2009 budget includes a total decrease of 2.00 full-time equivalents, or FTE, in position allocation, and an increase of 10.80 FTE for departments partly supported by local property tax levy. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the following general fund departments' new hours and positions and reductions be approved for inclusion in the 2009 La Crosse County budget, reflecting a net increase of 8.80 full-time equivalents. The net change in totals is 8.80 FTEs for $446,267 of total annual cost in salary and fringe, and $243,028 net levy impact. Be it further resolved that the Finance Department is authorized to make the necessary changes to the budget as needed. Personnel Department is authorized to make necessary changes in the county pay plan. Be it further resolved that any position addition reliant on non-tax levy funding will be deleted if outside funding ends. The fiscal note is the net cost of additions and deletions will be part of the tax levy for 2009 at $243,028. I move its approval.
Moved by Tara Johnson. Is there a second? Second by Margaret Wood. For this resolution and the next one, the best description of them would be that they are tentative, because obviously as part of the budget deliberation, if somebody makes a motion to change these, that would, because it happens second, would change what is part of this. So this just gets it into the process, is a good way of describing it. People clear on that? Mr. Ebert is not clear on that.
why don't we just do this in the budget process for 2009?
We've had a tradition of highlighting this, any position changes, so that it gets enough focus, rather than it's just included in some line item says, I didn't know we were adding that position. So we've always separated it so it highlights the discussion.
Well, I know I would never accuse you of trying to do something like that, sir.
And now we have it on recording.
All right, any discussion on this? Mr. Geary.
What happened in zoning? We're going to lose a secretary today. Who's picked up that function?
They have spread that around among the various people in the department, is my understanding. Jeff is going to try that for a year and see if it works. Mr. Bina?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I wasn't, unfortunately, at the land conservation zoning meeting of PDR last week. I didn't hear the discussion, but I have a serious concern about hiring a person and not have it funded from either the federal or the state. It's their program that they want us to implement, and we are on the verge of, you know, being closer to some of this than other counties in the state of Wisconsin, but we are hiring a specialist because the workload is going up considerably because of their unfunded mandates, and I have a big problem with that. I think the least we should do is to write EPA and or DNR and tell them to include something in their budgets if they want us to implement this. And I've been a conservationist all my life, and I'm not totally opposed to this, but I am opposed to a position that we have to foot the bill on, and we're doing it at their request. That's my problem.
Further discussion on the resolution. Mr. Spiker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. One of the it's in there is also about a person that may be possibly cutting that. I guess what I'd like to have somebody explain to me is why the jail sanction program is projected to have a deficit of more than $160,000 in 2008, must continue to rely upon the Human Services fund balance. Could I have an explanation of that? I really never heard that.
Sure, and we've discussed that a little bit at exec when we presented the information, as well as Health and Human Services. The there are a couple of issues involved there. One is that the administrative internal costs for justice sanctions, the support for billing and financial bookkeeping and all those types of things, are directly provided by Health and Human Services administrative staff, and that's charged back to justice sanctions and paid for right now by the Health and Human Services fund balance. We don't charge Health and Human Services for all the indirect costs that the general fund could, so it's been kind of a way of handling the accounting there, but it is approximately $160,000. The other $160,000 is actually the into 2009, about $50,000 of that, Jane, is from the drug court grant that we're having to make up for within property tax levy. The remaining are other expenses, primarily in increased use of electronic monitoring by the judges, increased use of SCRAM and other technology. I'd ask Jane to also come and help explain this a little bit more, but that's off the top of my head. And that was included in the memo that went to Executive Committee and Health and Human Services.
That's how I was wondering about, as we lose these grants, which we are not going to retain them, is my understanding, is it slowly but surely going to be on the tax levy then? Or is that why you're making cuts at that one position, that try to offset that? Or do I understand that correctly?
That's part of it. The other part of this position that I think is a larger discussion is that when we looked at the numbers, over time that position has become less relevant due to the fact that the Huber Center closed. So when that position started in justice sanctions, it was saving about 20,000 hours a year, or using about $20,000 hours a year in community service. Over time, we've adjusted that, and so now it's only about 5,000 hours. So the different discussion is, I mean, part of it is obviously we are over budget. The other part is that the community service program in its current form isn't as relevant as it was in the past.
So I can be assured that this probably will not or will happen in the 2009 budget then?
I don't know if I understand your question. It's included as recommended
in
the 2009
budget. Well,
you're
running a deficit in 2008. If this is how you're going to rectify not doing this in 2009. Do I understand that correctly?
Right, and the levy increase that is included in the yellow page that summarizes this incorporates the loss of this position and absorbing the loss of revenue.
So the last place we look, though, would be at the levy, right?
Right, which is why we're recommending elimination of this position.
Thank you.
But is that a correct statement? Mr. Spiker said that you're running a deficit for 2008. Are you over budget in this budget year?
We're projected to be, yes.
Okay, so you're going to be coming in for some account transfer?
Right. At year-end close, as we do, we deal with that, and we're doing everything we can to control and increase revenue, everything we can to control the use of electronic monitoring and these other expenses. But recall that one of the judgments that the judiciary makes is the amount of use of electronic monitoring in SCRAM, and the current judges are using it a bit more than the past judges had been.
Any other questions on this one? Mr. Geary?
Yeah, you made a comment about the community service hours went from $20,000 a year to $5,000 a year. Are the judges sentencing them to less community service, or what drives that number down?
There are two different issues. One is the judges still use community service. For example, they may put somebody on probation as a condition of probation. They may have to do community service. We've not ever been part of supervising that. The Department of Corrections does. What the community service program primarily did in the past was that when people were incarcerated for failure to pay fines and different things like that, we would take them out of the jail and put them to work, and they would work off their fines through community service. We're actually modifying that process a little bit with the judges, and that when people are arrested now for failure to pay fines, they will be appearing in front of the court the next court day, and then the judge will have some options about how to handle that population. One is still community service that they would send back through justice sanctions, but the other is that they're trying to figure out if the fine is something they should have ordered in the first place. That's part of it. So we'll still have community service. It will just be modified. And so the court-ordered community service through the treatment courts, that will continue. We'll still supervise that. We have a process in place to be able to do that.
Any other questions? All in favor of the resolution, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The noes, please raise your hand. Mr. Bean and Mr. Erickson. That resolution passes. Next item.
Item 7-10 to the honorable members of the La Crosse County Board of Supervisors. This is the second placeholder resolution on positions. This is changes in positions funded by a combination of levy and outside sources or non-tax levy for 2009. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the following new positions are approved for human services, which positions are fully funded by outside sources without any cost to La Crosse County. I apologize. Let me go back and read. Whereas the county administrator's 2009 budget includes a total increase of 2.0 FTE positions and a total net decrease of 127.75 full-time equivalent positions in the Human Services Care Management Organization, which are fully funded by outside sources. Now therefore be it resolved that the following new positions are approved for human services, which positions are fully funded by outside sources without any cost to La Crosse County. The net change in totals is a loss of 127.75 FTE, so a decrease of 127.75 FTEs, and a total annual salary and fringe decrease of $9,025,344. Be it further resolved that the Finance Department is authorized to make the necessary changes to the budget. Personnel is authorized to make the necessary changes in the county pay plan. The fiscal note is salary and fringe costs will be reimbursed by federal and state revenue and charges and fees for services. I move its approval.
Moved by Tara Johnson, seconded by Jill Billings. Discussion. All in favor say aye. Oh, wait. Jeff Schrader, did you have a question? Comment?
No. My question is, I guess that I thought these people were going to be completely separated from the county. Is that the way this...
That's why they're dropping out. That's what this says.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Now all in favor say aye. Opposed, no. Carried unanimously.
And item 8-10 is the first reading of an ordinance, the subject of which is charges for in-rem foreclosures under Section 75.521 of the Wisconsin State Statutes. The purpose is to provide that the county board periodically determine the cost to be assessed to owners of parcels subject to tax foreclosure actions instead of specifying the cost amount in the ordinance. I ask that this be considered its first reading.
This be considered its first reading unless anybody has any questions or comments. All right, that'll come back next month. Is that it for you, Ms. Johnson? Thank you very much. Health and Human Services Board, Sharon Hampson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have item 910, reacceptance of Safe Havens Grant. Whereas La Crosse County Human Services Department in the winter of 2008 collaborated with the DVIP of La Crosse, Family Resources, and La Crosse County Circuit Court judges to apply for the federal Safe Havens Grant. And whereas the scope of this grant is to expand existing safe exchange services of children for parents who are in situations involving domestic violence, sexual assault, or stalking. Whereas La Crosse County Human Services received confirmation from the federal office on September 23rd that we will be granted $366,078.57. Whereas the La Crosse County Human Services Department intends to contract both the planning and implementation phase of this grant to DVIP and Family Resources. Whereas La Crosse County Human Services will serve as the fiscal agency to the federal grant with no additional staffing required. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the La Crosse County Board of Supervisors agrees to allow the La Crosse County Human Services Department to accept the Safe Havens Grant with the Office of Violence Against Women for $366,078.57 for the period of October 1, 2008 to September 30th, 2011. Fiscal note, the La Crosse County Human Services Department and Finance Department will establish a separate org for the Safe Havens Grant. There are no fiscal match requirements for this grant, and no county tax dollars would be involved. Human Services Department has billed in $3,683.46 to cover administrative costs for acting as the fiscal agent for this grant. I move for its approval.
Moved by Sharon Hampson, seconded by Jill Billings. Discussion. Mr. Ebert.
Yeah. Then is it safe to assume this is a three-year grant of about $120K a year, that then in the 2012 budget, just as drug court drops, this will then become a levy item?
This is a time-limited grant, and at the end of 3 years, it will run out.
Correct. But and then, and normally it seems once a program is started, it goes on. Is that a fair assumption or
not? That's something that we'll have to decide at that time. There's nothing in this resolution that talks about the future of it.
Let me comment, though, however. In health department, we tend to, when we don't receive ongoing grant, we rearrange staffing and discontinue programs. That hasn't been the case in the drug court and other kinds of items and justice sanctions because the goal is to keep people out of jail. In health department, they do a great job of managing revenues to not go to the levy. So if a program is no longer funded, they don't automatically bring that back unless there's a policy decision to do that by the board.
Thank you, sir.
I can add a little bit to this also. The $366,000 is not what it costs to run such a program for 3 years. It's really to set up a program. Once it's launched, it's much less expensive. And the reason I know that is because the Family Court Commissioner is in Florida right now learning how to come back to Wisconsin to teach other communities throughout the state how to run such a program. So it would not be a huge expense after that if it is an expense.
So in other words, a lot of that is startup costs.
Yep.
Thank you, sir.
That's my understanding. So, other questions or comments? All in favor say aye. Opposed, no. One no, Mr. Erickson. Is that it for you, Ms. Hampson?
Not unless you want to talk about smoking some more. That's it.
We'll pass. Thank you. Public Works and Infrastructure, Mr. Spiker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Item 11-10, unanimously approved by Public Works and Infrastructure Committee, authority to allow operation neighborhood electric vehicles. Whereas Statute 2005 Wisconsin Act 329 created Wisconsin Statute 34926, which specifically allows Wisconsin counties, villages, cities, towns to enter agreements to regulate the use of neighborhood electric vehicles on roadways with shared jurisdiction. Whereas within the village of Holman limits, village and county share jurisdiction over several roadways. And whereas the village of Holman has adopted an ordinance allowing the use of NEVs on roadways which have a posted speed limit of 35 miles per hour or less. whereas the city, town, or village that passes an ordinance allowing the operation of MEVs shall enter into an agreement to obtain the consent of each governing body that shares jurisdiction over the roadway within the limits of the city, town, village to permit MEVs to use or cross the roadway. Whereas the village home has requested the county's consent to allow MEVs to operate on county roads within the village that have posted speed limit 35 miles per hour or less, or also allows MEVs to cross county highways within the villages that have posted speed limits higher than 35 miles per hour. And whereas the Public Works and Infrastructure Committee requests the county board approve the intergovernmental agreement which is attached to this resolution, with the Village of Holman and grant authority of the committee to review and approve the future intergovernmental agreement with cities, towns, villages, and pursuant to Wisconsin Statute 660301-34926 to allow the operation of MEVs and use of cross-country trunk highways with city, town, village in La Crosse County subject to terms and conditions that have protected the public safety. Now, therefore, be resolved that La Crosse County Board does hereby approve the agreement with the Village of Holman and grants authority to the Public Works and Infrastructure Committee to review and approve future intergovernmental agreements with any city, town, village located within La Crosse County to allow operation of neighborhood electric vehicles to use or cross county trunk highways where there is shared jurisdiction over the roadway within the city, town, or village limits subject to terms and conditions that protect the public safety. Be it further resolved that the County Board Chairman is hereby authorized to sign intergovernment agreements with the city, town, or pursuant to Wisconsin Statute 34926 to allow operation of MEVs subject to approval of the agreement by the Public Works and Infrastructure Committee Corporation Council. Fiscal note is no cost to the La Crosse County. I move for approval, Mr. Chairman.
Moved by Mr. Spiker, second by Leon Paff. And I assume, Mr. Spiker, that your motion includes adding an E to the fourth whereas?
Absolutely.
I thought that's what I
never argue with a lawyer.
All right. Without a lawyer. Marion pointed that out to me, so you can thank her. Brad Paff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I do strongly support this. I think it's a step in the right direction, but I do come back to the fact that I really do worry about the public safety, and I really do worry about our county roads. And the fact is that in my opinion, our county roads aren't wide enough. I mean, we need to have walking lanes, bike lanes. We need to understand that these neighborhood electric vehicles may not go as fast as a automobile. Bikes don't go as fast. People don't walk as fast as an automobile, obviously. And the thing is that we need to have a conversation, this board does, about, what we plan for our county highways, especially around these growing jurisdictions of Holman, of Onalaska, in the town of Campbell, the town of Onalaska, the town of Holland. We've got populations that are growing there, and we don't have sidewalks, unfortunately. We have schools that are being built off county highways without turn lanes. We got people that are biking. We got people that are walking at night. That's good. We want people to be doing that. But at the same time, we've got county roads, and we got people driving 30, 35, 25, 45. I will support this. I think this is a good thing to do. But again, I plead with the county administrator, with our county highway department, and we need to think about all of this and what all of this means. I really do worry that with the kind of growth that we see taking place within these townships and with the Village of Holman, the City of Onalaska, and the Village of West Salem and Town of Holland, if we don't have a coordinated approach and recognize that our county highways are going to need to be wider, then we're going to have a public safety problem. So with that, I thank you.
Don Vina.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess I don't have any problem with this, but let me ask you this. I'm assuming that these four-wheelers, and I think they're four-wheelers, they have to have insurance, I assume. If they're competing with traffic on roads, they better have insurance, because if they get hit, we might have them killed plus people in the car, too. And also, I just found out that I didn't know that until last week, that four-wheelers used by farmers with a slow-moving sign are legal on roads, too, if they're in the act of doing some work on the farm, fixing fence or any of those things. We're going to see more four-wheelers on the roads, and I don't think my insurance company has said anything about putting insurance on four-wheelers. And if we're coming with electric cars, I think they ought to have insurance also, but I don't know if there's a requirement there or not.
Mr. Shepard.
I think what you should realize is that the county's involvement in this whole thing is very limited. It only has to do with shared roadways. The municipalities must pass an ordinance to regulate these things. So we don't get involved in the regulation. All we do is have give our consent to allowing them to use county highways that are posted for less than 35 miles per hour. And in the Village of Holman agreement, because there are some county highways that they need to cross apparently that are greater than that speed limit, the agreement provides that they can only cross at controlled intersections, so lighted intersections. But the Village of Holman's responsibility is to regulate. I believe that the City of Onalaska has also passed a similar ordinance, and so that it's up to the local municipality to do that sort of thing.
Mr. Ebert?
I wonder if our sheriff has a comment either way on this.
Sheriff, do you hear the question?
Sure, I heard the question. Well, I know it's out there also being used in the City of La Crosse right now, and I haven't heard of any problems within the City of La Crosse. I guess the biggest issue is probably education for the owners and operators, that they understand exactly what their responsibilities are and where they're allowed to drive those vehicles or not. But within the village limits of Holman, for example, using a county highway, I wouldn't see any problem from a law enforcement point of view.
And that would include safety also, sir?
Right. I don't think that I don't see that it's any problem within the limits. They're not designed to take out on the highways, and that's why they're limited to, I think, 35 miles an hour.
I thank you much, sir.
Joe Veenstra.
I just wanted to make a small point about the insurance, not to belabor it, but under Wisconsin law, automobiles are not required to carry insurance. There's a financial responsibility law that kicks in if you don't have insurance and you cause an accident. There's a policy where you can have an administrative hearing within the Department of Transportation to determine whether you have to post money in order to maintain your license after you've been in an accident. So I think the same rules would apply with regard to these NEVs.
Jeff Schrader.
I support this. But I also would like to see some other vehicles added to it. I realize we can't do this, but that would be a source of license money for the state. There are a lot of vehicles that would come very close to these NEVs, which would be golf carts, ATVs, and so on. I know this can't be part of that, but that's just the way I feel about it, that there should be more vehicles added to this rather than the NEVs. It seems it gives them a leg up on everybody else, I guess, as far as the selling of the things.
Brad Paff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Bill, I don't mean to belabor this, but the sixth whereas down, we are giving the authority of the county to enter into other agreements with townships. I specifically read the last sentence. Allow the operation of neighborhood electric vehicles to use or cross county trunk highways within a city, town, or village in La Crosse County subject to terms and conditions that protect the public safety. So if we pass this, and I think we should pass this, I want it to be clear. I mean, we are allowing the county to enter into agreements with cities, townships, and villages. And the issue that I have is this. I do agree with the sheriff. I do think it's going to be, everything's going to be fine in the Village of Holman. I'm glad that everything's fine in the City of Onalaska. But I represent a district that is between the city of village of Holman and city of Onalaska, that's a township that has a school on a county highway without a turn lane, with people riding bikes, with kids walking. That's a county road with very little curb and gutter, if any, no sidewalks. And I'm just looking out for the public safety of the people that live on Sand Lake Road between the village of Holman and the city of Onalaska. And I know our sheriff knows that there's an issue there, because I'm sure his officers have talked to him about this. And I'm sure our highway department head, Dennis Osgood, recognizes that's an issue. I think we should have neighborhood electric vehicles. I think we also need to recognize that, you know, this is being dumped on the county highway. And our county highway, at least Sand Lake Road, is inadequate. It is absolutely inadequate. And so that's my only comment.
Bill Shepard.
Mr. Path, just one further comment on the state statute. This ordinance that a village of Holman has passed is subject to the state statute, 349.26. And by state law, these vehicles cannot operate on a roadway that has a speed limit of 35 miles per hour or greater. So they, you know, the only way that they can operate on that is to cross them. And what we're trying to do is, in talking to Dennis Osgood, to make sure that the only place they cross a county trunk roadway that has a speed limit of greater than 35 miles an hour is at the controlled intersection. So I believe Sand Lake Road, if I'm not mistaken, other than within an incorporated village or city limit, it has a speed limit of greater than 35.
But not during the school zone. I mean, I would hope people aren't going faster than 35 miles an hour in a school zone.
They couldn't drive on a... Wherever it's greater than 35 miles per hour, they couldn't operate on other than to cross it at a controlled intersection. I guess that's the only point I'm making, Mr. Pat.
And I thank you. And you've been very generous, Mr. Doyle. I just really would like this county to take a look at the safety of Sand Lake Road, especially with a school district, an elementary school district with no sidewalks, no turn lane, and young children, including mine. So thank you.
We'll get on that after we finish that Mindoro library for your dad. All right. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously. All right. Mr. O'Malley asked if he could make a comment before we put the resolutions for the LEC bids on the floor. He's got... some information to present to the board.
Right. Just before the meeting, Supervisor Burns and I were chatting about this. As we're bringing to you the successful bids and a recommendation from the Law Enforcement Center Committee, and I'm going to look for direction from the members of the Law Enforcement Center Construction Committee, but Supervisor Burns made the point that we've been dealing with this issue so long, and in fact, many of the new board members may not recall all the steps we've gone through to get to this point. This is a monumental day to be able to be in a position to bring you a project that is on budget, deals with most of the issues that we've got to deal with in the Law Enforcement Center, and I just thought it'd be helpful to give a very, very brief overview of what we're doing and where this fits into what your long-range plan is, and particularly because of the new board members that may not have heard each of these pieces, as well as the policy direction by resolution that have brought you to this point. And I want to spend, obviously, most of our time with our construction manager and architect talking about the details of the bid and that type of thing, but I thought it was important just in case there are in particular new board members that may not know each one of these steps. And we're not going to go through the whole carrier report. We're not going to go through the whole floor plan. But just in broad concept, we've only got four slides. I wanted to give you an overview and then come back to the policy direction that came out of this. The first slide talks about what is phase one of the law enforcement center expansion. If you're acquainted with the building itself, you see to the far top of the slide, you will see the existing law enforcement center. And if you do proceed with this construction project, it's all of the lower area towards 3rd Street, and then the light blue area is the actual two direct service pods that are there. You also see a building that's back off to the left of the slide. That is the garage building that you've already approved that's going on for building. This is the first step of a multi-phase, four-step process that deals with the entire project. All you're being asked on to proceed with is phase one. But if we can go to the second slide, I want to make sure that you understand that there are three other phases that future boards and future people in our chairs will end up making decisions on. Phase two is actually more of an internal restructuring of the existing garage and area, expanding receiving. And for those of you that will recall, and in particular the sheriff will remind us, one of the reasons we didn't add all of that capacity that's just in the dark blue called receiving is you need to be able to staff for that, and that will be six additional positions in that, and we weren't able to do that within the budget. So we are adding positions within the budget. It was in the resolution that you just acted on until we deal with, but we are not able to go to phase two, both from a cost standpoint of the amount of investment in the remodeling for that level of receiving, as well as the six additional positions. When the sheriff or Captain Daggett talk about one post. When you say one post, that's a staffing post, you need six FTEs, six jailers to be able to cover that. We weren't able to do that within the context of our budget. But that's phase two, which will expand capacity beyond what you're building. It's a much lower cost than obviously phase one. If you go to the next slide then, phase three will expand the jail up and add two additional direct supervision pods, and then phase four on the next slide will expand back over the existing law enforcement center. When the existing law enforcement center was built, it was contemplated that that would be your next phase, was going up. That doesn't have the same efficiency of staffing that this other phase program. Some people have misunderstood that, said, oh, when they built the original law enforcement center, now we found out we can't go up. Yes, we can go up, but because of staffing efficiency, layout, intake, master control, all the issues that are accomplished in phase one, we decided and elected against doing that last phase now because it's better from an efficiency and staffing standpoint. So if we can go back just to phase one, if we can page back. Keep going. This is the subject of the Law Enforcement Center bids that we have done and are bringing to you tonight to discuss. And if you're comfortable with taking action tonight, you can do that. Otherwise, we can also have the special meeting that's scheduled for Monday evening, the 20th. So again, I'm going to walk through all this, and then we'll have to make some decisions about that. The next piece, and we don't need the slides anymore for this, but I just wanted to make sure that people are clear on what we would actually be acting on and what we went to the market on. When we went to the market to actually ask for bids, it was based on two resolutions that the county board adopted. The first one was last October, was approving a plan for up to $29.5 million. It described what would be in the ground floor, what would be in the first floor, the concept of probation and parole being offered space, justice sanctions, remodeling existing housing, and all of those things that was in a resolution that established for the 2008 budget a ceiling of $29.5 million. That was approved unanimously by the county board at that time. In addition to that, then in May of this year, following the election, of course, new board members were also asked to act on a resolution that dealt with some of the issues around LEED standards, energy conservation, and alternatives that are included in the bid documents that we'll talk about that's actually before you. We've had a lot of talk about LEED. We'll talk more about it at a future meeting with some of those alternates and get you better payback information and those types of things. But I want to remind everybody that the project that you see there, when it went to seek bids included an additional roughly $300,000 worth of enhancements to the building to improve the energy efficiency beyond basic code. It's been estimated that those alone will save about 20% of the projected utility use for that building, not including the alternates that will come back to you at a future meeting. That resolution also identified how we included and followed your direction on what items would be bid as alternates, what items would be considered in addition to the basic design and the basic project, as well as if you end up pursuing LEED certification, which again will be a separate policy debate as we bring you more information. There are additional items to be done with that. So in each case, what we've done is followed your direction, your policy direction, and that's how we've actually gone to the market and bid on this. And then I'm going to go into some of the details of what you've received on those bids. But I thought it was important, and I think Supervisor Burns made a good point, that for newer board members, you may not have understood the context. I hope you have, but I thought it might be important to just kind of walk back through. We're only on phase one. The board members that were both before this current term and earlier have tried to set up a process that we have a roadmap or a plan for how to deal with each next stage of the needs of the law enforcement center, the needs of the jail operation, and that this is not just a one phase and then we don't know what happens next. Now, we're obviously hoping that everything we're doing with justice sanctions, with programming, with everything else, that we are postponing phase two, three, and four as long as possible, as long as safe for the operation of the jail and those kinds of things, and as well as for the benefit of the taxpayers. We don't want to go to that next expansion until we absolutely have to. But we also want to make sure that, being the good stewards that we are of this operation, we do the best thing we can to provide for now and know what the next steps are with each potential future need. So I'm going to go to the bids, but I want to see if there are any questions about what I'm trying to do as an introduction, and then I'll talk to you about the successful bids we've received.
Jeff Schrader.
Steve, at when we started doing all this, the economy wasn't in the situation that we're in now. At what point do we step back and take a look if we proceed any farther? Well, what would dictate that?
I guess it's a policy decision always on your part, but as you'll end up learning in just a few minutes, that the issues around the economy have actually contributed to very, very, very competitive bid process and have actually successfully brought in a project under budget, given some of the difficulties with inflation, and I will describe for you some of that, and I've actually got some separate handouts on that. The issue about whether or not to proceed with the project, obviously, is always yours. But to remind you, just because the economy changes doesn't change the demands of how many jail beds we need, the efficiency of the operation of the system. And, in fact, we are in a great position, as Don and I will share with you about the bids, that the competitiveness, given the cost of steel, given the cost of fuel, given the amount of work that's out there in the private sector, we had very competitive bids. So I'd ask you to hold that thought while we walk through that, and if you feel it's relevant to debate that issue, please come back to it. But nothing about the demands of the jail have changed during this period of time. In fact, if anything, the sheriff could remind us, and Doris can, that during this summer we had up to, 20 people sleeping on the floor? We've had fluctuations of jail overcrowding, and remember, if we proceed with this as we've laid out for you and as the bids have come in, we are still roughly 24 months away from occupying the building. During this next 24 months, any spikes or increase in jail bed demand and inmates incarcerated in our facility will put additional tension and difficulty on the existing jail. The crisis has leveled, but it hasn't been abated. We still need this law enforcement center addition. We still have done everything we can to incorporate programming, justice sanctions, probation, parole, all those types of things. But nothing about the original demand of why I believe this board voted unanimously from all sides of the political spectrum to go ahead unanimously last October still remains the same need. And we just happen to be in a good position financially that the competitiveness of the bids allows us to keep it within budget. And I think that'll get a little bit clearer as I walk you through some of the other documents that you have about the budget. And I also want to bring up construction manager and architect to actually give some of that feedback. So if you'd hold that concept, we will come back to that. But I think you should understand what we've gotten in these bid documents.
Mr. Bina.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I haven't been too involved in this, but I remember approving $29.5 million. Does that include phase one and two, or is it three and four also?
No, this is phase one. That's what I tried to remind everybody. All that's bid is phase one.
It's just the phase one part of it.
Yes.
Didn't remember exactly what we approved when we approved the 29.5.
Sure. Other questions? Should we get the resolution on the floor first, or do you want to do
whatever you prefer? I just thought it would be helpful to actually walk through the documents. The LEC committee has these. Whatever you prefer, Mr. Chair.
Let's get it on the floor, and then you can talk about it. Vicki Burke.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Item 1210, a resolution regarding the acceptance of bids for the Law Enforcement Center addition and remodeling construction. Whereas the Law Enforcement Center Construction Committee has pursued bids for construction of the Law Enforcement Center addition and remodeling project, and whereas La Crosse County advertised for bids for said construction, where the bidders were requested to provide prices on 20 different contracts, and whereas bids were publicly opened on October 2, 2008, and whereas the bids of the lowest responsible bidders for each contract are as follows. Whereas the total estimated construction costs include the low bids listed above, plus construction manager, architectural, engineering, and contingency costs for a total project not to exceed $27,671,185. And whereas the project will be funded from borrowing. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the La Crosse County Board of Supervisors hereby awards the contracts for construction of the Law Enforcement Center addition and remodeling project to the firms listed above for a total project cost not to exceed $27,671,185 in accordance with the bids opened on October 2, 2008 and the contract specifications provided by La Crosse County. Be it further resolved that the County Board Chair and County Clerk are hereby authorized to execute any agreement to accomplish said work after approval by Corporation Council. Fiscal note, cost of the garage and utility island portion of the project is $1,274,844. Cost of the addition and remodeling portion of the project is $27,671,185. Total cost of the entire combined LEC project as presented is $28,946,029. I move its approval.
Moved by Vicki Burke, seconded by Tom Rauch.
Mr. Chairman, it doesn't say, but the Law Enforcement Construction Committee approved it unanimously.
Thank you. All right, Mr. O'Malley.
Thank you. And then following that resolution, in your packet is all of the bid details of where that number comes up to 28.9 and how what of the alternates are not included that we are still working on, as well as the complete detail of everything that we have on all of the bids that were submitted by category, by contractor. Also, by separate mail or by email, you would have received a cost recap, which talks about how we're handling each one of the items that are not yet included in this. Number one, we continue to have construction manager and architects and staff work on value engineering, seeing if there are other changes now that we have the bids to be able to save additional money within the project so that we can accomplish everything that some standardization with HVAC and fire alarm controls and a number of things there. Secondly, and we've shared this with the Law Enforcement Center Construction Committee, we are working with Aramark to see if there's a better way of financing on a shorter term the actual food service and laundry equipment, which would save us interest. We're working with them and may make a recommendation that will end up saving interest money on how to fund that. We also, as you know, are having concerns about the municipal bond market and the ability to get the best and most favorable interest rates. We continue to work with the State Trust Fund loan and Wells Fargo, and we'll look at this. There may be a way of saving issuance costs as well as trying to make sure that we get the most competitive interest rate. Number four and number five are alternates that are not yet included on, in the bid document or in the bid award that we're asking you to consider. Probation and parole has always been a priority within this project for quite some time. It was in both of the previous resolutions. We are meeting next week with probation and parole staff. We have up to 60 days from the bid submittal, so by the first meeting in December, to make a decision on any additional alternates. The probation parole build-out came in at $640,000. We're going to continue to work with them. They have some questions about both the terms of the potential lease, including parking and some other issues that we don't want to get off on a tangent on that today, but we are not giving up on probation and parole. We hope to bring something back to you on that within a reasonable period of time, which would actually be next month. And the reason that it is not yet awarded is because if we don't have a lease agreement with them, you don't want to pay to build that out, right? And if we do that, we also would have the potential to fund that separately because, again, we didn't count on the cost of build-out in this project. We also didn't count on the revenue that will pay for that. So there will be some ways to deal with how to pay for that differently than issuing bonds for that. So we want to come back to you with that recommendation. We have not given up on probation and parole. We're going to continue to work with them. Mr. Spropolis and I have a meeting with them next week. And finally are a number of energy-saving or LEED alternates, which are detailed a little bit more on page number two of the cost recap. You see the alternates that were included and the ones that were not. You see a zero for community corrections build out, which is probation parole. Building out the North Pod is included. Items C, D, E, and F are not yet included. Those will go through Law Enforcement Center Committee for a recommendation before coming back here. What were included was bid G and H, which are the skylight units and rear cell window to add more light into the building. Those were directed by you and discussed when we brought the previous two resolutions through. On the back of that recap talks about more LEED issues. Again, I don't want to get into that now, but I want to make sure if you go to any of the resolutions that we've done, each one of these follows your actions, your policy direction, and that's how we've structured this. So tonight before you is the basic project with all of the items adding up to 28.946, including the storage garage and utility resolution. The last item before I turn this over to Don Carlson to talk about is a green sheet that's just on your desk this evening. It's just a quick set of bullet points because I think one of the items that we rarely recognize is that one of the benefits of utilizing a construction manager process, and we promised that when we first went to the concept of hiring a CM, was that by having a construction manager help us divide the projects up into bid packages, we have the potential, and we have seen it in this demonstration, of a lot of local contractors being able to get bids rather than just having to be tied to a large general contractor. So there's a significant local benefit or economic impact. Of the 20 bid categories, 8 went to La Crosse or Onalaska firms, over 41% of the base bid expense. 7 of the packages didn't receive a bid from a La Crosse firm because they're in specialty areas that our firms don't do. So that's not that didn't get work. They don't do that type of work, things like food service equipment or a special tube conveyance, a number of things that are there. 7 of the bid packages went to other cities within Wisconsin, and 3 went to Minnesota firms, 1 to an Iowa firm, and 1 to Illinois. Again, I think the Iowa firm, that was the elevator. We don't have a La Crosse firm that does that. Competition was critical, and back to the point that I was trying to make with Mr. Schrader, is that this was critical to getting the kind of competitiveness. 4 of the categories had as many as 6, 7, and 8 bidders. Excluding those with only 3 or less, usually specialty equipment, the average was 5 bids received. In the 5 categories where La Crosse firm bid but did not receive it, where they were only the second lowest in 2 categories, going with their 2 bids would have required us to spend another $199,000 in one category and $296,000. Every La Crosse firm that got the job had to compete and was the lowest bidder. The conclusion is that if the low bid had not been submitted and we had to go to the second bidder in every category, we would be $1.3 million over the recommendation that's before you. That's how important competition was here. That's also the kind of local economic impact. We're also led by Don Carlson, of course, represents Market & Johnson. They are a lacrosse firm. River Architects, Val Shute, is partnered with Potter Lawson out of the Madison area. So, again, there is a significant local impact as well. That's not why we're doing the project. Obviously, I'm not trying to make that point, but I wanted to let you know, because we've talked about what's the value of buying local and all those kinds of things. Our local firms had to compete for this work, and I know they're going to do a good job for us. So I'd ask Don to come up and just help guide you through any questions you have about the bid information. Again, you got the same cost recap that the Law Enforcement Center Construction Committee and all of those details. So anything about the bidding that maybe I haven't touched on yet.
Thank you, Steve. I guess before we go through that, we are really happy with the bids. We're happy it came in budget, but there's a lot of people responsible for that. Your county staff was excellent to work with. Paul spent an enormous amount of time with them, the Sheriff's Department, Doris's team from facilities, Jim. Even Mr. O'Malley was great to work with. Jane's still here. Jane was great. I mean, you really have an excellent county staff. They really watched out for your money throughout this project. Paul and Val's team were also just excellent to work with. Paul is, I think he's pulled a lot of hair out on this project, but he did an excellent job getting the ideas on it. I was at a number of the design meetings, and Doris challenged him a lot about what she wanted, and Paul really did a great job coming up with solutions. Mike and Tyler and their team did a great job planning the construction, which hopefully you'll want to go ahead with, and soliciting the bids. We couldn't be happier about how it turned out. As Mr. O'Malley mentioned, you know, the economy did help us. When oil raced up to $147 a barrel, I was not sleeping at night. You know, every time I'd call a steel bender, it went up. And, of course, no one said anything is coming down now, but they're using the term softening. The good news is the prices are less. So I don't know if you have any questions. I think Mr. O'Malley really covered it very well.
Anybody have any questions? Mr. Geary?
Yeah, maybe it's for the architect. You know, when you're showing those phases, I don't know if you can answer it. When we got to phase three, when you had to build up, we put additional costs in these buildings so you can build up. Well, this one been here for 40 years with design to put a fourth floor on. We never did, but we incurred the cost. The first architect that built the first jail said the next time you build up, because now you can save all your parking spots, and it's structured to do that. I see that as soon as we got a different architect, we went sideways. My thing is, about the time the next phase comes, are we going to go north or south and get a street closure? Or I mean, have they ever... Has that architect or you worked on law enforcement centers where they put floors on top of existing floors? Do you have to evacuate, or is that disruptive to the inmates on their TV or whatever they're doing there? And have you guys ever done that?
Yeah, we have. Eau Claire County is actually
gone. They went up?
Yeah, they've gone up. But
was it over the jail, or was it over the office part, or both?
It was over the jail. And it's challenging, but it's doable. But I think really the reason that we chose to go out here is your ground floor, your layout, your booking, all of that really was not adequate. We would have simply been adding beds and not solving the problem you really have.
Okay.
Other questions? Discussion? Comments? Mr. Schrader.
In this portion that's being built out, are we gaining beds for the jail? Is that what we're gaining right here?
Paul, do you have the exact number? How many beds we're gaining?
We're adding two pods of 57, so it's 114 new direct supervision pods, and we lose one connecting pod in the process where we have to connect on the two floors, so that's about 37, so it's around 110.
So net gain of 110, approximately.
It's close to that.
Yeah. Okay.
108.
108. Net gain of 108.
No, I'm just.
Somewhere in that range.
It's that.
but we're also adding more receiving cells on the lower floor, so there's a lot more ancillary spaces, but receiving cells don't go into the permanent count of population.
I'm sorry, what?
The net amount.
The net amount. Yeah. With the receiving, do you remember exactly where we are, Paul? I know it's changed a lot throughout the design process.
No, I'm going to say it's around 110.
So somewhere around 110. Joe Veenstra.
I think the one thing I wanted to add to that is the women's jail is obviously closing. That was one of the fundamental drivers behind this, and you have to subtract those beds. I think it's somewhat less than that. I don't remember what the total was, and frankly, I was a little disappointed. But I think one of the things I learned throughout the process sitting on the committee is this is a law enforcement center expansion and not just a jail expansion, and the Sheriff's Department's getting a lot. Probation and parole, justice sanctions, hopefully probation and parole, knock wood. And I think a better system for the Sheriff's Department primarily, and then ending the problems with the women, potential problems with the women's jail, some efficiencies without transferring inmates across the street all the time. And I think everyone did a good job, I think, and in watching this as a new county board member, I think, you know, we've tried to keep our eye on the ball and call these guys to task as much as possible, and we're continuing to do that. Thank you.
I probably left out the committee when I said thank you, but yeah, the committee, Sharon, you were challenging.
Thank you.
Okay, is there anything that we don't know that Jim Burns?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Not to get too hung up on the numbers, but I really think it is important for the county board to know what our net increase is for phase one, because we're basing all of our policy decisions, I would say all of our policy decisions are based on the carry report numbers that we received, and that's how we kind of conceptualize and big picture thinking here. I think we really need to know what exactly, we don't need to know necessarily now, but I think we really need to be asked, what exactly are we increasing for our numbers? Because that's going to impact all the other phases as well. So, sure. Thank you.
We can get that, but I think the other thing it's adding is you're adding more space for different classifications too. I mean, to me, it's more than just beds that you're adding. You may have too many of one type of bed in your old system, where here you have a lot more flexibility and everything is going to be more usable.
Exactly. And I think the carry report mentioned that. So I just want to make sure that we are on target with our care report. So that's my concern. Thank you.
Paul, I see you have a calculator in your hand. Do you have a better number for us now?
I'm talking to Doris. We're trying to clarify it because there's so many different categories of types of cells. We have 114 new beds in the new addition on the direct supervision housing pod. We also have receiving cells and holding cells on the lower level, which are for less than 72 hours, so they really don't count in the population, but they're actually built in square footage. We are eliminating about 17 cells on the third floor as we connect, so it's a less than 100. It's not 110. It's less than 100 cells that we're adding upstairs.
Okay, thank you. Further discussion or questions, Mr. Bina?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess going back into history, you know, we did the same thing 10 years ago or 12 or 14 years ago. We thought, and the question that we asked at that point in time, how long is it going to last before we need another addition? And I think, if I remember right, it was about 20 years. Well, that 20 years got to be down to 10 years, and we're doing it again. But we are supplying a lot more space for the workers, and not necessarily the jail, too, like we did last time. What do you project for the next phase? I know the economy is going to have some say on this, and a lot of other things are going to have say, but, you know, in a way, we can't keep filling our jails because these are non-productive people, but, and we're trying to do something with that with what we're doing. But what do you expect for the next phase, and, you know, when do we get there? I'm afraid it's going to be here before we know it.
Mr. Mina, I'm not sure that the construction manager is the person to ask that question.
Thank you.
I've heard my question. Anybody can answer. He's a smart guy.
Yeah. I'm not that smart.
Vicki Burke.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to compliment the committee because it's a diverse committee, and I think they ask a lot of good questions representing the county board and a discussion with Market and Johnson and Potter Lawson and River Architects, and they did an excellent job answering the questions and always being considerate of the opinions of those who were on the committee. So I think it was a good discussion, and I think it's a good resolution.
Bobby Erickson.
Yeah, I had a question about the probation and parole. You said we haven't reached an agreement with them about anything like that. So right now we have 10,000 square feet, is that correct, built into the plans?
Well, I think it's around 12. Pretty close, little 10-4. 10-4 now? Okay.
10,400 square feet.
Yeah.
And if we don't reach an agreement with them, what is exactly going to be done with that space?
Well, right now I think it's just going to remain shell if you don't reach an agreement with them.
Just empty?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Maureen Friedland.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. At the appropriate time when all the questions have been answered and so forth, I think we need to go ahead and vote on this. But before we go on to the next item, I'd like to ask you if you could allow Mr. O'Malley to talk a little bit more about LEED and why we aren't deciding that at this time and what the plan is for further discussion on that.
Steve?
As the cost recap pretty well describes, I think the items in the alternates not yet included on item number five, there are four categories. Alternate C is 46,000, which is estimate of LEED items, which includes everything from, I'm trying to find my list here. These are a number of LEED items that are I didn't think we were going to get into that much detail. These LEED items are things that don't have a direct energy payback but relate to LEED requirements that are environmental standards, different testing, and those kinds of things. Alternate D is the solar water, which will have an exact and direct payback. And the reason the number there is 173 is there was still some clarification needed on the sizing and capacity of that, and we're going back to work with Potter Lawson, back to work with our sustainability coordinator that's helping on that, so that we are correcting some of what we think were some design things that weren't as clear as they could be. That number could be significantly different, but I think that can be dealt with whether or not you go with LEED, just based strictly on payback. And Maureen has done a very good job of highlighting and making sure we go back and look at what our own actual escalation has been. Natural gas cost to La Crosse County for this building has been going up 14% a year for the last 7 or 8 years. So we're refining our numbers, and we'll come back to the Law Enforcement Construction Committee with payback numbers on that and probably a revised number, even if we have to go back and rebid just that section. Alternate E deals with a heat reclaim unit that we're going back to analyze and make sure that we understand the cost savings there. Again, there will be a payback on that, and I believe you'll end up being very pleased with trying to find a way to fund that and to do that. Alternate F is our bioretention ponds, which are things that have an environmental appreciation in how water is treated on the site, stormwater holding and that type of thing, but it doesn't have a payback from an energy saving. So we will end up coming back through and reanalyzing those, make sure that those are the best numbers, see if there's any value engineering with those, and making sure that you know what the paybacks are with each one of those items. If you end up making a separate decision and a separate debate, it will be a recommendation that will come out of Law Enforcement Center Committee, maybe on a majority or a minority report. We'll just see how that goes. If you decide to pursue LEED, on the back of that recap is, again, the footnote from the original resolution that you adopted in May that breaks up into three separate categories, the consideration of prerequisites related to LEED. The first box talks about fundamental commissioning, which is a term that's used in LEED, which talks about how you commission the building at the end. Commissioning, as I understand it, and there are experts that can talk more about that, is how you test and make sure that the systems that are in your building are operating as they were designed. If we can do that either the entire commissioning or just on the heating and ventilating. So we'll end up looking at what those options are. To get LEED certification, you need to do all of that. That's the best estimate that we have right now. And, okay, enough said on that. Secondly, there are a number of other items that are listed there, how we handle recycling, how we do an indoor air quality management plan, et cetera. Those, again, don't have a direct payback but are environmentally sound requirements based on the quality of the building that are prerequisites to be able to pursue LEED certification. And finally, some of the compliance and verification paperwork that's necessary to apply for LEED are included there, documentation of construction for certification. That's an actual bid estimate from Madison Engineering. Is that the right term?
Madison Environmental.
Madison Environmental, and Don has provided us with the detail of that, and that will be provided to the committee. We'll make copies of that. I just received that tonight. And documentation of design for certification is actually the additional work that our architects have to do. Now, at the next LEC construction meeting, which will be November 11th, there will be a presentation by Potter Lawson's expert on LEED certification and Nick Nichols, our sustainability coordinator, and the construction manager and the folks that are involved on the benefits of LEED and walking back through these items. So we need to bring a decision back to you on that. Was that how much detail you wanted me to go into, Maureen?
That's fine. My main purpose really was to make sure that everybody knows about that November 11th meeting, because we will hear at that time, I believe, why it costs what it costs to do LEED certification and why the plaque or the piece of paper costs so much money. What's behind it? I believe that there is quite a lot behind it. So I really would invite everyone to that meeting so that we can hear this information, because it is complicated and it is something very new for us. So I think that'll be a very important meeting.
And that's November 11th at 4 o'clock in room 3220. And we're expecting to bring back all the information on the alternates, as well as recommendations on how to handle the costs and proceed from there and get direction from the LEC committee, and then come to the full county board, not on November 12th, because that's your regular annual meeting. You'll be dealing with budget. The budget, by doing this November 11th, it allows the LEC committee, if they need a second meeting before they make a recommendation to the board, but we have to bring that into your December cycle, and we're hoping to be able to meet that 60-day requirement on awarding these alternates to do that the night of December 8th. We would add that as a voting item that night so that you can make your final decisions on this, because while we're asking you to award the base bid, there are still items that we need to resolve and give you better numbers and how each one of these would be handled.
Sharon Hampson.
Thank you. Just a small point about the stormwater. We passed a resolution tonight referring to stormwater. Is there a way to calculate a payback for that based on what we're going to have to invest in that effort?
Again, there's not a payback unless there were a stormwater utility or something in the city of La Crosse. It's more about environmental protection, which may have a quality of life payback that you have to evaluate.
Okay,
but
I was just looking at the
dollar savings.
So it would
like
be the city of La Crosse that might create a stormwater utility.
That's been debated for quite
right.
some time, and I don't know that they've got clear direction.
Okay,
on
thanks.
That.
Ann Fisher.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would just like to say that I'm on the Law Enforcement Construction Committee, and I was very impressed with the team of construction with Potter Lawson and River Architects and Market and Johnson. A lot of this stuff was way over my head, but they did an excellent job of talking very honestly to us and at the level that I could understand. And I just totally endorse this resolution, and I think that we couldn't have done better with the team that we have working to put this building up. So I was just very impressed.
Any further discussion? All in favor of the resolution, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. One no, Bobby Erickson. That resolution passes. Next item, Vicki Burke.
Item 1310, a resolution regarding the authorization to approve change orders. Whereas the La Crosse County LEC addition and remodeling project includes base bid construction costs of $21,052,543, and whereas 5% of base bid's construction cost is considered to be a reasonable estimate for addressing changes to construction plans and problems that will normally occur in a project of this magnitude, now therefore be it resolved that a contingency budget of $1,052,627 is hereby established for the purpose of addressing changes and problems. Be it further resolved that change orders up to $20,000 shall be approved in accordance with existing authority limits set forth in Chapter 4.11, Purchasing Procedures of the Finance Section of the County Ordinance. Be it further resolved, the County Administrator, County Board Chair, and the Sheriff are hereby authorized to jointly approve change orders in amounts greater than $20,000 but less than $75,000 upon unanimous agreement. Be it further resolved that change orders in excess of $20,000 not receiving unanimous agreement and all change orders in excess of $75,000 shall require approval of the LEC Construction Committee. Be it further resolved that a list of all approved change orders shall be provided to the LEC Construction Committee on a monthly basis. Fiscal note, contingency amounts are calculated on the base bid construction costs, base bid of $21,052,543 times 5% equals $1,052,627. I move its approval.
Moved by Vicki Burke. Is there a second? Second by Andrea Richmond. Discussion? Tara Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Quick question. What's the role of the Law Enforcement Center Construction Committee from this point forward? And will you be meeting? Obviously, this would be an agenda item if you had a meeting, but what's the role of that committee as we go through the construction phase itself?
As I've discussed with the members, and I guess it'll be up to this board and, of course, the construction committee, but I've assumed we need to have some ongoing oversight by a committee of the board. My suggestion is that we have the LEC committee meet on a monthly basis, establish a regular meeting. If they need to meet more frequently because there are too many changes to deal with, but we are going to try to minimize. They've been meeting almost all the time every 2 weeks. At this point, I don't think it's necessary for them to do that. If we would have a change order that needed action that went over that, we would call a special. We thought this was the easiest way to handle. But again, I'll be looking for that direction from and make that a discussion item of a future committee meeting and getting their insight and input, as well as if there are board members. Again, you can attend those meetings anytime, whether you're on that committee or not, and we've encouraged everybody that wants to be a part of it to stay involved.
Jeff Schrader.
Thank you. Up to $20,000, and there doesn't have to be any oversight other than by
$20,000 is within the administrator's authority, right?
That's current purchasing policy is up to $5,000 as a department head, up to $20,000 is my approval. This tries to expand that authority to include two other people overseeing the county board chair and, of course, the sheriff, so that we're uniquely involved. Obviously, the facilities director, of course, is involved in each one of these as well.
Well, anytime we spend over $20,000 now, it has to come to the county board. Why would this be any different? Why can't things come to the county board, which I think they should?
They come to the governing committee, and what we're suggesting is that in a construction project of this size, you can't go over budget in any regard without approval of the county board. When you have this much remodeling, one of the reasons that we are carrying a 5% contingency is that remodeling, you're bound to get into something that you don't know until you get there. That's why we're carrying a large contingency. And rather than having to pull together a committee meeting at fast notice, we're not going to do this just to get around anything. It's just you don't want to slow down the contractor when they're actually dealing with it, and we're going to report on all of these as we go along. We can just foresee that they take out a wall and something had to be moved that they didn't anticipate. It wasn't in the design until you tear out the wall. We're doing a significant amount of remodeling, and again, we just felt that by having three in charge rather than just say it's the administrator that does it, again, if the board chair or the sheriff says, gee, that's too big, we really ought to involve everybody because we're getting into something, we can easily call a special meeting. We just thought we didn't want to be calling a meeting every time we hit something that we didn't expect. We'll do whatever the board directs, but this follows the change order practice that you had before, which was on $50,000 from the last one. This allows a little bit of inflation from the $50,000 change order policy that you had when the original jail was built.
Bobby Erickson.
Oh, yeah. We're at the last committee meeting, we were talking about this $20,000 to $75,000, you know, price range that was up to the county administrator, board chair, and sheriff. And personally, I just feel that that's just almost too large of a number to not be considered by the county board. And I know before it was $20,000 to $50,000, and I feel like that's a better price range than anything over $50,000. I mean, I can grant up to that much, but over $50,000, I think, should almost be considered by the county board. And I would move to amend the third. Be it further resolved to strike the $75,000 and replace it with $50,000 in the.
What's your point? Use your microphone, please.
Supervisor Erickson was absent from the LEC Construction Committee meeting at which we discussed this extensively.
What does that have to do with his ability to make this?
Oh, I'm just pointing out that we did have an extension.
But let him make his amendment, and then we'll discuss
the
amendment. Okay. So your amendment is to change $75,000 to $50,000.
In both the third and fourth, be it further resolved.
Okay. Is there a second to that? Second by Mr. Bina. Now Ms. Burke is your chance.
Sure. At the LEC Construction Committee meeting, we had an extensive discussion of this. It should be in the minutes of that Construction Committee meeting. We talked about the fact that it had been in the original jail, which was over 10 years ago, $50,000. That $75,000 was probably more of an accurate estimation of what the same extensive cost inflation for that work would be, and so that was the reason why we at the committee level did not make that particular change.
Chair Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We had to, I don't think we have the minutes from that latest LEC committee meeting tonight because of some printing challenges. Could those members of the LEC Construction Committee who were at that meeting, just raise your hand so I know who was there. And there were, thank you. And what was the vote on this? It was unanimous. Okay. So that was my first question. There was one nay. So Supervisor Ebert made this same amendment and it failed in committee. Okay, thank you. And then somebody who does math better than me, can you tell me what $75,000 is as a percentage of $29 million?
Our finance director has his calculator.
No, it's not.
It's 0.2%.
Thank you.
Further discussion on the amendment? Any discussion on the amendment? All in favor of the amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Going to have to do this one on the computer. If you are in favor of the amendment.
Shut it off.
Did people think that we were leaving or something? All right. Marion will do roll call the old-fashioned way.
My computer's ready.
Somebody like to make a motion that the chair can just vote for everybody? I'd be willing to do that.
I make a motion to vote for Bobby.
Mr. Chairman, point of order. Would you restate that motion so everyone understands?
The amendment, the proposed amendment is to reduce the amount that the three parties have to approve change orders from $75,000 down to $50,000. Okay.
Byrne?
No.
Billings?
No.
Bill Skimper?
No.
Bina?
Yes.
Brock Miller?
No.
Burke?
No.
Doyle?
No.
Ebert?
Yes.
Erickson?
Yes.
Fisher?
No.
Flood?
No.
Friedland?
No.
Gamron? Geary.
Aye.
Hampson.
No.
Jay Johnson.
No.
Tara Johnson.
No.
Kyle.
No.
Ma.
No.
Manti.
No.
Mettinger.
Aye.
Meyer.
No.
Andretti.
No.
Brad Papp.
No.
Leon Papp.
No.
Flesha. Rout.
No.
Richmond.
No.
Schrader.
Yes.
Bronick.
No.
Spiker.
No.
Veenstra.
No.
Wood.
No.
Six yes, 28 no, and one excused. That fails. For the hopeful comfort level of the people who did want this number lower, let me just tell you my philosophy on these change orders that come in, and there's two main points that I would make in that regard. Number one is a change order is not a policy issue. If there's a policy issue that comes up, it goes to the committee or goes to the full county board. So, for example, if somebody says, gee, we got a little bit of money we could spend here to do some of this lead stuff that we hadn't approved, you're going to decide that. It's not going to be decided by the three of us. Secondly, if there's a committee meeting coming up in the near future and there's no rush to do it, the committee will do it. Just because we can doesn't mean that we will. So these change orders will go to the committee when it makes sense to have them go to the committee. So I hope that, you know, people feel that nobody's going to try to slip one by here and do something that really the full board or at least the committee should have some the decision-making authority on. So that's where I'm coming from, and I think all three of us each have a veto power, so that's mine.
Additionally, included in the resolution, if you end up adopting it, is our intention that anything that happens will be reported back to the board. If you feel that you can always change this, if you feel that too much is going on without your approval, we'll be reporting back to the committee, and I would expect on a monthly basis, both in the minutes and otherwise, you will know what's going on with this project. If we're getting into unforeseen things and we're dealing with some cost items, you need to know about it. It's just the ability to do it efficiently. So I echo what the chairman just said, but you will also know what's going on, even though it goes back to the LEC committee. You will get those minutes. You will get that information as we're going through this two-year project.
Further discussion on the resolution, Mr. Bina.
And that's why I seconded it in the first place. 12 years ago, we got a listing of the changes that were made, especially the bigger changes, and that should come back to us at some point to show us where it's.
Mr. Geary, did I see your hand up?
Yeah, I got a question. When they took 5% for the contingency, they took it off a lower number than we were, you know, than the total cost. They took it off $21 million, but we're going to spend, what, $29 million roughly, or?
A little under 29.
Yeah, I mean, they took the 5% off a lower number.
Right, because it's off the bid. It's not including the design costs and the garage utility.
Is that the way we normally do that?
Right.
That's the way we normally do that.
Right.
Oh, and on these change orders, if it looks like it was something the architect should have put in there in the first place, we paying for it or is the architect paying for it?
That will be a subject of debate and discussion. Trust me, if we have a change order,
by the county board or just by the people that are authorized to spend the money?
If we have a reason to believe that something should have been included, we will obviously represent our interests on behalf of the county as best we can.
But again, all those things will be reported back.
Right. Because the last time we did withhold money from the architect because we thought they made a few follow-ups, and we never did. Didn't we withhold a few hundred thousand, Gary? We said you made a mistake, and we ain't paying, and we never did pay it.
Yeah, we never did. Okay.
We resolved it. We did settle.
Did we? Oh, okay. Ann Fisher.
I would also like to remind people that the LEC committee will continue meeting monthly through this construction process, and any supervisor is willing to come if you think something might be going on, so you can come in and speak your piece then.
Further discussion on the resolution. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously. Oh, I'm sorry. Got to get the hand up. One no, Mr. Erickson. All right, is that it for you, Ms. Burke?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, we do need to go back very briefly to the chair's report. When we talked about the public hearing that never or that isn't going to take place with regard to the smoking issue, Mr. Shepherd pointed out to me that you get a public hearing by having a supervisor request it and then the board votes on it. Last month, Mr. Spiker asked if we were going to have a public hearing on the ambulance issue, and I said yes, we were, but we never took a vote on that. Did we? No, I don't think we took a vote on it last month. I don't think so. So we'll do that now. Mr. Spiker.
I move to have a public hearing on
the ambulance. Is there a second? Second by Bobby Erickson. Discussion.
Yeah.
Well, we've already scheduled it, so this is really kind of a formality. So hopefully there's not going to be a lot of debate.
How is this public hearing different from the one that was held at the university?
This is going to be on the commission.
Pardon?
This is just on the issue of the commission. Okay. Yes, my proposed ordinance on the commission only. Right. Andrea Richmond.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to refer this until probably the January cycle for the simple reason we have this ambulance issue where we have a petition going around. I don't see the real need for this public hearing at this time unless the rest of the county board supervisors feel that it's necessary. Because once we get the signatures of 3,000 plus, the ambulance issue, you know, that's on there is pretty much going to be put to bed.
But that doesn't change the need for a commission.
Okay.
Again, we don't have a contract right now. We haven't for almost a year.
Okay.
I would like to get a contract.
Okay.
So, and I do want, Mr. Springer, please emphasize this in your article. This is not a public hearing on whether we should have ambulances and the city should have an ambulance. Not that. It is the commission.
Okay. So. Fine. Thank you.
Mr. Ebert.
Yes, Mr. Chair. Who signed the last contract? What group signed the last contract that expired?
County Board.
And then why can't we do that without this commission? Why is that? Again, it seems to me this commission is being made for no particularly good reason. If it's just to sign a contract, if the one before this was done by the county board, why can't this one be done that way?
Well, it's more than just doing the contract. I mean, the contract is the thing that is right there staring us in the face. There are many other things that that commission needs to do. And I would emphasize, Tri-State says that we should have this commission. Franciscan says we should have this commission. The out-county people I've talked to have said we should have this commission. Most of the county people I've talked to have said we should have this commission. Somebody next door has a different version on how the commission should read, and we'll see what ultimately is going to happen. But, I mean, I don't think this part of it is all that controversial.
But the county, in other words, so then you really withdraw your thing that it's because of the, it's more than just signing the contract. Because that's what you've indicated in the past, that this contract is the big thing. That could be taken care of without your commission, correct?
Well, then it would go through the Public Safety Dispatch Board, which most people think is not a good place to run it through.
It was kind of a yes or no question, sir.
No, it wasn't.
Yes, it was. Can someone other than that sign that contract? That was the question, sir.
Well, the question, though, would be how would it get to the point where somebody can sign that contract? I can't just sign a contract without it going through some process. That process involves the Public Safety Dispatch Board.
Okay, so that would come through there and then could come to us.
Right, but everybody has been saying the Public Safety Dispatch Board is not the right animal to use anymore. It's all non-elected officials, or almost all non-elected officials. And so we're saying, almost everybody's saying, that is broken. So we don't want to go through that old process to get it to the county board.
Thank you, sir.
Okay. Mr. Bina.
Now you confused me a little bit. I thought the commission was a good idea. Can the commission sign the contract without going through the county board then? How much power are they going to have? Right. I know.
All we're trying to do is to get a public hearing here.
But just to remind everybody, the county board doesn't have the authority to enter into an ambulance contract other than on behalf of all the municipalities. The reason historically we're in this position is this wasn't controversial. It evolved to a point that all the municipalities were comfortable with the county acting on behalf of the authority of all the municipalities. We've evolved beyond that point where that isn't what everybody wants. The commission establishes a process whereby all of the villages, all of the cities, all the municipalities can be represented and make sure their interests are represented in whatever the new ambulance contract would end up being. The Public Safety Dispatch Board is made up of appointed officials and three elected officials. Everybody said that that isn't the best process because it also represents people that have different interests on that, including myself, the sheriff, the fire chiefs, etc. The commission puts the elected officials in charge on behalf of all of the county in one entity.
Mr. Chairman?
Well, actually, it is on the agenda.
Then
under the chair's report, setting a public hearing date.
So that's
right. Right. The issue is not the authority of the commission. The issue is, should we have a public hearing? If that's your comment, Mr. Bina, go forward. But if you want to talk about the merits of the commission, hold it to the public hearing that we may or may not have. We'll know in a few minutes.
It would make my mind up whether the commission has total authority of signing contracts or not.
Mr. Bina, we're not asking you to vote in favor of a commission. We're asking you to vote in favor or against a public hearing.
Oh, okay, the public hearing.
Thank you. Mr. Schrader?
I was just going to point out that you're discussing something here, and there was a lot of assumptions made here that everybody thinks that the commission is way to go. And that is not what I've been hearing.
Okay. Right, come to the public hearing. Tara Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm calling the question so that we can vote on this.
Seeing no objection to calling the question, we'll just go ahead and vote on it. All in favor of having a public hearing as whatever that date was that I had said, November 10th?
Aye.
Say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously. All right. You know, I knew I shouldn't have showed up. Tara could have run this meeting all night, and my life would have been a lot more simple. Any further items for future agenda? Or discussion or complaints or anything else? Is there a motion to adjourn? Moved by Jerry Sobranek, second by Arlene Benrood. All in favor say aye. Opposed, no. Carried unanimously. No meeting Monday night.